Glenn and Mackenzie are going to come first and tell us a little bit about, maybe about 2 or 3 minutes, a mission in Tennessee. And then Shannon's going to come and share for just 2 or 3 minutes, maybe, and about the mission trip in Haiti. And then Lynn's going to come and share for a couple minutes about her experience with Vacation Bible School. So a little testimony time before I get to bring in the word. All right, Glenn, Kinsey, y'all come on.
Good morning. So we went to Rogersville, Tennessee, and we spent a week there. And the first day we went like really early and set up, and we met the kids. And one of them stuck out to me the most. His name's Micah, and he's the cutest thing you've ever seen. And I cried when we left because I wanted to take him home, but I couldn't. And when we got there, you could just tell that they just wanted love, and they just wanted you to talk to them and give them attention. We did Vacation Bible School there, and I realized when I left that, this is, might sound bad, but I was a spoiled brat when I was there. Like, they were brats because they didn't have love, and I looked at myself at home, and I'm like, I'm a brat too, and I have a lot. So I came home with the mindset of there's people like here that don't have what I have, and I take it for granted, and they don't. They take it day by day, whatever they can get. And so I prayed a lot that week, and there was this kid, his name was Briar. And he had autism, and where they're at, they don't really have medical, like, help, so he couldn't, like, really do anything for it. And all week, we couldn't understand him, and he couldn't really understand us. He couldn't use complete sentences. So I had prayed a lot that I would be able to understand him and help him. And last day, I finally understood. He was trying to ask if he could roll a clay ball together and then flatten it out. And I understood what he was trying to say. If you just sit down and talk to him, you can get a lot out of it. And I take a lot from it. I was like one of the youngest people there that went. I went with older people. And they laugh at me because we went with older people. And I learned some people have some pet peeves, like hair. And one night I was having a bad day at the cabin, and I went to lay on my air mattress, and I feel this is a God thing. I lay there, and the plug pulled out, and it deflated on me. And I think of that as I was having negative thoughts. I was being a Debbie Downer, and God's like, you're not here to do that. You're here to be a positive person. So I come home with a new perspective, and I wouldn't trade that trip for the world. And like I said, I cried because I didn't want to leave, and I would love to go back and be able to do more, because I still don't know what God has for me, but I know that was just a little taste of what it's going to be like. So I had a great time, and if you didn't go, you should probably try to go because it was really fun, and I had a good time. So, yeah.
That would be enough of a blessing for me just to listen. I had two of my children go on this trip. And that right there is just touches a dad's heart. Me, Harley, Mackenzie, Elaine, Jackie, and Mr. and Mrs. Hollingsworth from down south of Quiltman went up to One Accord Ministries in Rogersville, Tennessee. One Accord Ministries is a big ministry that serves two counties up there. We did vacation Bible schools at the Boys and Girls Club for a week. This man named Shelby Lindsay has come up with this over 20 years ago, started helping one person, and this has turned into, they have about 20 different things they do, from feeding children every day during the summer to feeding older adults. And they build houses. They work in all different ministries. Mickey Wilcox is the young man that was in charge of the Good Neighbor Program, which is part of what we did. And when you see Mickey, he's not what you would call a church person. He's got a ponytail, tattoos, but he loves God. And God has really used him. He's got a lot of stuff on the internet that you can pull up by his name, Mickey Wilcox. And he's got a big testimony. But this morning, I was sitting there going over what I wanted to say. And I said, well, the Lord needs to give me a Bible scripture. So I opened my Bible. You know, the name of this is One Accord Ministries, but and I figured it come from the Bible, but I had no idea where. Wouldn't you know the first Bible verse that I come to is Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 1. Therefore, if there is any condemnation in Christ, if any conduct of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, full of joy, being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through selfish ambition, concept, but of lowliness of mind, in each esteem each other better than himself. Let each of you look not at only his own interest, but also an interest of others. You know, that's what the Lord's got us here for. Look out for the interest of others. We got a group that went to Haiti. We went to Tennessee. We had vacation Bible school here this week. You know, looking out for the interest of others is what Christ wants us to do. And I praise God for a church that does that. And I thank y'all for letting me be part of y'all. Amen.
It's been a rough morning. I've spent most of it crying, and It's been the devil working against me because of what God wants me to come up here and say. And I still don't know what God wants me to say. So, I'm just going to give you a basic rundown of the day of what it was like in Haiti and just see where God takes me from there. We would wake up in the morning to the sound of a shrill bell being beat against the handrails of the stairs as she woke us up to come down for breakfast. And we would come down and we would all begin eating and getting our plates and then stop to pray once everybody was downstairs because it took a little bit longer for some people. And after we had our breakfast, we would have a devotion every morning. And it was hard to stay awake in those devotions most mornings, but you could do it if you really tried and had someone to watch. And most of the time I would watch Emily or a girl on our team, Taylor, because their face and their reactions to what was being said was typically pretty funny to watch. But after devotions, we would do dishes, and then we would go and meet outside in the courtyard, and either a team member from either Olive or Holmes Mills Chapel would speak, or one of our Haitian staff members would speak about, like, just give a 3-minute testimony, basically, before we would start our day. And it was amazing because we would have an American standing up here next to a Haitian translator, and you could hear the American saying what their testimony, and then being able to listen to a Haitian translator translate it for the other people there that didn't speak English like we did. And just hearing, one of the most touching things in the mornings for me was listening to those guys translate our prayers. And because they were praying to the same God in a different language, and it was just so amazing to be able to hear that. And I can't put much of what I saw in Haiti into words, because it was just such an overwhelming experience. And from the very beginning when I decided to go to Haiti, I had just an overwhelming sense of peace and calmness. Like, I knew this was what I was supposed to do this summer. I knew that I was supposed to go to Haiti. And I knew I was supposed to experience this and see these children and work with people and just go to see what God had in store for me. And so, after our devotions in the morning, we would split up into our different teams and our little tap-taps and go off to Vacation Bible School at Pastor Scobie's church. And most of the days, I stayed there at the church and didn't go out on the street witnessing team because we had adults that wanted to go out and street witness in the neighborhood there, and then adults that wanted to stay at the church to run the VBS. And so most of the days, I stayed for VBS. And there's not much you can do with little kids that don't understand you. There's not much you can do with little kids, period, because they don't understand you anyways. But these little kids really did not understand you. You would tell them to sit down and they'd... But the best thing was being able to just sit with them, because you would sit down on a bench by yourself away from everybody, and then the next thing you know, there's like 15 kids around you. And they're just trying to touch you and play with your hair and just rub your arm or touch your face and just sit on your lap and be held. And just, they'd be so calm once you, just the slightest attention would calm them, and they would just, everything was fine. And it was amazing to see how we could share the love of God with these children. And just by spending some time with them or holding them or just playing with them or dancing with them, because they didn't understand why we were there. They didn't know why we were there. They didn't really care why we were there. They just knew we were there. But it touched us to be able to be a bright part in their day, every morning. And so we would go from VBS back to the house to have our lunch, and we had a little bit of time of rest in the middle of the day, and then we would come back from our rest time and go out to the orphanage. And we went to the orphanage as a whole group, like, we didn't split up our teams for that. Everybody went. There was like 30 of us at the orphanage. There were still some that would go out in the afternoons to do street ministry also at the orphanage. But I stayed at the orphanage every day because I couldn't leave those little kids. There was this one little girl there that from the first day I got there, she was just drawn to me and I was drawn to her. I fell in love with her. The first day I got there, I played with her for like probably 30 minutes and then she fell asleep on me. And I was like, well, this isn't fun. I have to sit here and hold this child and I can't do anything. I can't play with the other kids. Like, what am I even doing? Why am I here? And I realized that this child trusted me enough and felt calm enough with me and protected enough to sleep. And she felt safe. And she knew that I would stay there with her and I would hold her for as long as she needed me to hold her. And so the next day I came back and she fell asleep in someone else's arms. So, of course, I was a little hurt. I was like, well, that's fine. Whatever. That's all right. But she woke up from her nap and came and found me. And so we played for the rest of the afternoon, and it went like this every day. We would play, and then she would nap. We would play, and she would nap. And Thursday, when we went, she was waiting at the end of the tap-tap when we parked. Like, she had run, I saw her, and she had ran to the end of every tap-tap as they were parking, trying to find where I was at. And so she was standing there waiting for me when we finally parked. And as soon as I stepped down, I didn't really have good footing, but she jumped on me. Like, she just straight up jumped. And I caught her. I was able to catch her, and I didn't fall. I really thought I was going to fall. There were rocks and trash everywhere. I thought I was going down. But I caught her, and I realized that sometimes we just have to take that leap of faith and trust that God will catch us. And you don't always know what God has in store for you. But the week I spent in Haiti, it was that little girl. That little girl blessed me more than anything in the world. She wasn't even an orphan at the orphanage. She was just a kid from the neighborhood who was able to come in and play with the other kids. But her being there waiting for me every day showed that God is there for you every day. And he will catch you and he will protect you and he will carry you through the tough parts. And it's overwhelming and amazing to think about. But I'd do it all over again. I'd spend all summer there if I could. I would spend the rest of my life there, I think, if I could, honestly. I just, from the moment we touched down, I knew that was where I was supposed to be that week. And I'm honestly ready to go back already.
Hello. So this was my first VBS. I don't even remember going to VBS when I was a kid. So, but my mom said I did, so I have to trust her for that. But this was absolutely amazing. I was not sure what I was going to expect and what was going to happen. But the first night, Sunday night after we got here, yeah, I'm a crier, so I can't help it, but I found Marianne and I just hugged her tight. I said, thank you so much for letting me be a part of this as a guide, because experiencing those children, sitting around talking to them, and just seeing their faces and learning about Jesus was just amazing to me. They are so precious. They got my heart in them. A lot of the little kids I haven't been able to meet since we've been here and really got to know. And they're all very precious to me. I love them very much, and I was thinking about, you know, Matthew, when Jesus said that, let the children come to me. This whole thing about Vacation Bible School is to let these children know that Jesus loves them, that they are precious in his sight, that they are important to him, and that he will always be with them. And I think I got more out of it maybe than they did. Just by being a part of it. So I can't wait till next year, what we're going to do and how it's going to go. But I just wanted to stand up and say thank you, God, for letting us be a part of this and share in this Vacation Bible School. Everybody worked hard. Everybody worked diligently, but they always had smiles on their face, even if they were tired. And the little children, I mean, you could see them. They were just so excited to go from one area to another. Are we going to do this? Are we going to do that? But just to hear them answer the questions that people asked them, they knew answers, and they talked about Jesus, and they talked about how much he loves them. So it was just a tremendous experience for me. So, thank you.
The Bible says that we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And I love testimonies, I tell you, I do. I thank God for a mission-minded church. I know we're running over just a little bit, so hang with me, because I believe I have something for us this morning. At least I know that God does. How about that? So let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for these testimonies. Thank you, Lord, that we are a mission-minded church, that we are going out into the highways and the byways and compelling them to come in. And we're going in to our area, local areas, regional areas, and around the world, Lord, spreading the good news of Jesus Christ, Lord. So bless this time we have together in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank some of the visitors, definitely, and my friend Walter for being here this morning. So, are you guys ready? We're going to have, I guess we go to Children's Church. I want to do that, or we'll hang out in here. Let's stay in here, because I think the children will like this. If you're new and you're visiting, I have a little something different this morning, so hang with me. And we're going to have a grown-up version of Vacation Bible School. Adam's like, okay. All right, but definitely want to give a big thank you to everyone who participated in a Vacation Bible School. It was awesome. I think it was a super success. And like Lynn said, I can't wait to next year. Thank you guys very much. So real quickly, I want to share with you, our volunteers built a laboratory in the church where the kids were shrunk down with a machine called a shrink-o-matic. Now, we stop right there, because I'm going to get with the deacons later, because we need to get our money back for this shrink-o-matic. Because I went in there every night for 5 nights, and it didn't shrink me one bit. But anyway, so the kids went in this shrink-o-matic, and they were shrunk down real little, right, guys? And then they went inside the human body. And then they were able to explore the human body as God's amazing creation. And they learned that God has an amazing design. And we talked about the different body parts. And the kids learned how their bodies can teach them how to walk with Jesus. Right, guys? Kids? Boom, boom. Boom, boom. So awesome songs. The kids, they would all line up outside, right? And Derry obviously was doing the music, and the kids would say, "What'd you say?" They'd say, "Hit it, Mr. Derry," and Derry would cut on the music, and they'd come marching in. It was very, very cute, obviously. We learned that Jesus is the cure for the deadly disease of sin. It says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen? Okay, the children learned about different body parts. They learned about the skeleton and how our faith must be built on a firm foundation. They learned about the eyes, that we must open our eyes and see things God's way. They learned about the digestive system. I love teasing my little boys talking about gizzards and guts. Girls didn't like that, though. But we learned about the digestive system, that we should digest and meditate on God's word just as our bodies digest our food. We talked about the ears. They learned about the ears and how we should not only listen with our ears, but we should also obey God's word. And then lastly, they talked about the heart. They learned about the heart and how the heart sort of pumps in good stuff and pumps out bad stuff. We talked about how the heart in the Bible talks about pumping in godliness and pumping out what? Sinfulness. Okay, so this morning we're going to take a closer look at these scriptures from Vacation Bible School. Are you guys ready? We're going to have the grown-up version of VBS. So let's talk about the skeleton. And I know we're running time, but I'm not going to worry about that. We're going to run through the time. We're going to run through these body parts. The skeleton. Our faith must be built on a firm foundation. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 says, "For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one..." The kids are all quoted, aren't you? "And the one who trusts in Him will never..." What, guys? "They will never be put to shame." If you look up that Greek word, I don't go there this morning, but if you look that up, it means to be disrespected and dishonored and those kind of things, you know. The Bible verse that we used on that, the Bible lesson, was about the wise and the foolish builder. And I'm going to read this scripture for the adults that may have missed that or not familiar with it. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and 27, it says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." And I'm going to show you a quick 2 or 3 minute video that goes along with this. It's a little fast, so y'all hang with me. Please listen to the words and the message. Right on? Hit it, Mr. Derry. Please, if you have young children or grandchildren, I encourage you not to chase the desires of the world and leave our children alone. Amen? Let's don't build our houses on sand. Let's don't build our relationships with our family on sand. Amen? I'm going to say something about Jess and Marie. You guys missed Friday night's Vacation Bible School grand finale. I thank you for that. I saw the pictures where y'all were at the beach. So you're putting your family, you're putting your children even ahead of that. And that's a good thing. I've counseled many pastors in my career. They would lost their children to wayward stuff and got divorced because they would even put the church ahead of their family. Your wife, your husband, your children are your number one ministry. Obviously, your personal relationship with God is everything. But your wife and your children are your number one ministry. Please don't forget that. Thank you guys for going ahead and on. They could have came back here on Friday out of guilt, you know what I mean, out of fear of man and what they might say. Sorry if I'm being embarrassed, but I'm actually complimenting you for spending that time with those girls, because they're going to be grown and gone pretty soon, one of the guys. So thank you for doing that, spending time with your kids. The next one's eyes. Eyes. We must open our eyes and see the things of God's way. See things God's way. 1 Samuel 16:7. 1 Samuel 16:7 said, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him." The Lord does not, everybody says does not. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. Right, kids? People look at the outward appearance. But God Almighty, the Lord, looks at the heart. The Bible lesson of that is God sees the heart. God sees the heart. God sees you. And He knows what He has planned for you. God sees if you're a king. Remember? They were looking, and David was just a shepherd boy. He was just a shepherd boy. He wasn't tall and strong and big and handsome or pretty or whatever if you're a girl, you know. But God looked at the heart. He knew he had the heart of a king. The shepherd boy had the heart of a king. Hit it, Mr. Derry. Amen. That's an old song. Anybody remember that one? I used to cry many times with that song. You know, I just... God sees you. God sees you as a queen, as a king. Worthy. Worthy to enter heaven because of the blood that flowed down that old rugged cross. We've been made righteous. Amen? The digestive system. Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Okay? God wants us to get into His Word. He wants us to learn the Bible and learn the Scriptures so we can apply it to our life. All right. One more video. Hit it, Mr. Derry. It's about the Word of God. Education Bible School. So I thought I'd throw that one in for some of the old-timers that like some of the old gospel music. I like it too, don't you? I was talking to a couple guys. I wish we could have a little men's quartet, you know, in the church. Maybe we can get Mr. Pete to sign up for that one. Praise the Lord, though. All right, so let's move on. The ears. We should not only listen with our ears, we should also obey God's Word. And about five more minutes, guys, so you'll hang with me on this. Okay, James 1:22 says, "Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says." Amen, kids? Remember? Okay, God has commanded us, not ask us or if it's okay, do we mind doing this? But God has commanded us to go into all the world and preach the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And like I said before, I thank God that we do have a church that's mission-minded, that's going forth and doing things in the world. So I have one last video for you. This is only about a minute. So hang with me. This is one of my heroes. And it's actually his last message and sermon. If you've never seen it, I've posted it on Facebook. It's called "The Answer is the Cross." So hit it, Mr. Derry. Amen. That sums up everything we do, isn't it? Everything. It really is. It's all about the cross. You'll hear me talk about it almost every message that I bring to you. The cross. And it kind of ends with the last part of our body, which is the heart. It talks about pumping in godliness and pumping out sinfulness. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." And it's like I shared with the kids, the heart, most of the time when you study the heart, it means the soul, and the soul means the mind, will, and emotions. So I want to leave you with this. Please, guard your heart. Guard your mind. Guard what you allow to come into your mind. Guard your thoughts that you dwell on. Guard what the Bible says, the eye is a candle of the soul. So be careful. Guard your heart. Guard your mind. Okay, guard your will. Make sure we obey and be obedient to God's Word. Not just a hearer only, but be a doer. Obey God's Word. Repent of our sins. Accept Christ as our personal Savior. And then we got to guard our emotions, our feelings. Right, kids? We want to guard our feelings and make sure we're not getting out of God's will with that. So, I hope you were blessed by this adult version of Vacation Bible School. If you're new, this is something unusual, but I just thought it would be a blessing to you for the variety of different videos and songs and bring in what the kids did during that time. So let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this time. Lord, the gospel of Jesus Christ was plainly presented this morning. Father, if there's one here that's never accepted Christ, Father, I pray that they would come down and talk with me whenever we do the song of invitation. Father, if someone here that would like to join our church, we ask you to, you know, that will be done, that your will be done in their life, and they could fellowship with us here and grow. In Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.